This morning's message I've titled, Don't Be Afraid of the Giant. Some of you might be able to guess where that may be coming from. 2 weeks ago, we began to talk about a man named Saul, who God had called to be the king of Israel. We saw how Saul was not completely obedient in what God had called him to do. And when God called him to destroy Amalek and everything they had and spare nothing, Saul had a better idea. You know, we have a better idea sometimes. We don't do it God's way. We don't do it our way. God's way don't make sense to us sometimes. And Saul thought it made more sense to save the better, you know, of the best of the sheep and the oxen and fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. He saved Agag, the king of Amalek. But that wasn't what God told him to do. God told him to destroy all of it completely and not to save any of it alive. So Saul's partial obedience, as ours is disobedience. When we're partially obedient, we're disobedient. Because we're not completely obedient, then we're disobedient. So we saw that it's better to do it God's way and not our way. Last week we talked about not judging a book by its cover, because God sees the heart and we just see what's on the outside. We took that from 1 Samuel chapter 16 and where God chose David to be the king of Israel in Saul's place. And when God spoke to Samuel and told him to go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and anoint his son king that he had called to be the king. And so when Saul went there, remember, Jesse had 8 sons. And so when they found out what Saul was there for, they assumed which one was the one that was chosen, and so they called the firstborn out. God said, that's not him. They called the second out, that's not him. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and God rejected each one, said, that's not the one. And Samuel said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? And he said, well, I got one, the youngest one, he's out taking care of the sheep. And he said, call him in. So they called David in from taking care of the sheep. He's the one that God had called to be anointed as king of Israel. And so he was anointed the king. Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, latter part of verse 7, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He knew what was in David's heart. And so God knows what's in your heart. Matter of fact, he knows what's in our minds. He knows our thoughts and our intentions. So even when we are doing good things, he knows what our intentions are. And sometimes the intentions are not what they should be. And but God knows what our intentions are. He knows what our thoughts are. He knows our heart. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So God knows what your heart is. And so we're too bad to judge people. From time to time, we tend to want to decide who God can save and who he can use. And we won't witness to some people because we don't think God will save them anyway. We don't ever give some people an opportunity to serve because we don't think that they can serve effectively and officially. Well, that's not our call. It's God's call. And so we need to stop judging the book by the cover and start allowing God to work and allow his will to be done and not ours. We don't think sometimes that people trust God enough to be saved. David certainly trusted God. And we see that over and over and over again. So when God rejected Saul as king and anointed David, an evil spirit came on Saul. And we find out in the following verses, we pick up at verse 14 in chapter 16 this morning. And Lord willing, we will go through chapter 17. Y'all know how fast I go through verses, so we may be here a while, right? Looking at like 58 verses in just in chapter 17, and then 14 through 23 of chapter 16. So, but we're not going to do verse by verse, but we're gonna get the message. I hope you get the message of what God's saying, what He's teaching us here in this. And as we try to get into chapter 17 anyway, but when God rejected Saul as king, He rejected him, remember, because of disobedience. You know, He calls us to do things, and sometimes when we're disobedient, we lose, well, any time we're disobedient, I should say, we're going to lose a lot of the blessings that God wants to pour out upon us. You know, it's kind of like us and our children. When they're obedient to us, when they do what we ask them to do, the chances of them being blessed and the chances of us doing things for them and blessing them with things are a lot greater than when they're disobedient. When they're disobedient, we have to withhold from them things that we would like to bless them with. And the same is true with God. The difference is God knows completely what our thoughts and intentions are, and whether it was a mistake or an intention. And so we don't have that ability with our physical children to know exactly what happened. Sometimes it was a mistake and sometimes it wasn't. We're not able to discern that, but God can discern that with us. And so when we're disobedient, it's going to cost us, and it costs Saul. It cost Saul his kingship, because he was king. He had been anointed to be king of Israel, but because he was not completely obedient, because he was disobedient, it cost him that position as king. And so there's an evil spirit that comes upon Saul. And so that was a problem for Saul. But his servants suggested to Saul that they find a man or find someone who was able to play music that would soothe Saul when he was attacked by the evil spirit. When he was attacked and really down and out, someone to play some music. And Saul agreed with that. And so the servants went to find this man, and in chapter 16 and verse 17, we see where Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." And so they told Saul that one of Jesse's sons could play the harp well, and he has God's favor, so they sent messengers to Jesse to ask Jesse to send his son David to play for Saul when Saul was attacked by the evil spirit. And so we find that Jesse not only sent David, but he sent along with David bread and wine and a kid to Saul. That was accustomed to do those things to show favor and to encourage. And so Jesse sent David. David goes to Saul. And when David got to Saul, Saul fell in love with him. He liked him. He loved him enough that he made him his armor bearer and then sent word to Jesse asking if David could just stay with him to help him, because when David would play on the harp and Saul was being attacked by the evil spirit, Saul was always comforted and calmed down. It brought a calm over him. And so Saul loved that. The evil spirit would leave when David would play the harp. There, a lot of times we have the ability, God equips and calls different ones to be that calming spirit for people. Have you ever known somebody that when you were really upset, and that person could come in and just say or do something that would just bring a calm over you, and everything seemed to be fine? David was that man that brought a calm over Saul when the evil spirit attacked him. Now, this could have been a pretty dangerous thing if God hadn't been involved in it, because David is the one that's about to take Saul's position as king over Israel. So that probably wouldn't be a real loving relationship if God wasn't involved in it. But when God's involved in it, guess what? It's going to work out, and it's going to be fine if we just let God lead and let Him be the one in charge. And so we find that God still works, and He works through this situation. He worked in a mighty way to calm Saul through David, and to build a relationship between David and Saul that was a great relationship, a loving relationship there. And so David was able to calm Saul and be his cupbearer, armor bearer, and also to be a dear friend to Saul. Then in chapter 17, we move into the battle. There's a battle where the children of Israel are at war with the Philistines. The Philistines are on one side of the valley, and the children of Israel are on the other side of the valley, and there's a war going on. So Goliath, this giant that we've heard about for a long time, came out every day, and every morning and evening, actually for 40 days, Goliath came out and challenged the children of Israel. He challenged the children of Israel to send someone out to fight him. And Goliath said, if someone can come and defeat me, then the Philistines will serve the Israelites. But if I defeat your man, then Israel will serve the Philistines. And so this challenge was made every morning and every evening for 40 days. This challenge twice a day was made. If you'll send somebody that can whip me, then we'll be your servants. But if I whip your man, then you're going to be my servants. And so this was heard, and what happened? What did the children of Israel do? The children of Israel, every time they heard it, they were scared to death. It scared them to death. There's no way we can defeat that. That man's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Think about that. That's a pretty big dude. Now, I watch some of these basketball players that look like they're pretty tall, but I don't think we got any that's anywhere close to 9 feet. 7. Some of them look like it might be 8. Don't really think so. But 9 feet and 9 inches tall. That's how tall Goliath was. The church I pastored previously down at Pleasant Valley below Ponce de Leon, we had a lady who actually made a 9-foot-9-inch man, cut out of plywood, of course, a cutout, and stood it up beside the building there so that our young people, and not only our young people, because adults can't really get that their mind wrapped around that either, but so we could actually look at that and stand against that and look and see what a giant he was at 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And so every time he came out and threatened them, and that's what it was a threat. Every time he came out and threatened them, it scared them to death because they thought, we don't have anybody that can go up against him. He's a giant. No way we can go up against him. And so they were scared to death. And we read about that there in the beginning of verse 4. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and that's 9 feet 9 inches. Had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, 125-pound coat of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and which is a shield which weighed 45 pounds. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So just the head of his spear weighed 15 pounds, and then he had somebody going ahead of him to deflect anything that someone might send his way. And he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said to them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then will you be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. He said, I challenge you. He was challenging God because this was God's people. The children of Israel, they're God's people. And so Goliath is challenging God every day, basically saying that God has no authority over me. And we get challenged that way often, don't we? People come against us as believers, and they try to cause us harm, do things to us. And they're not just attacking us, they're attacking the God that we serve. And I want to tell you, the God I serve is bigger than that. There's nothing impossible with the God I serve. And there's no one that can defeat the God I serve. And so we need to understand that. And thankfully, there was one little boy there that understood that. And his name's David. But all the rest of the army, the whole army of Israel, was scared to death. Every time Goliath spoke, they were scared. Verse 11 says, and when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That means they were scared to death. That's what we'd say today. They're scared to death. If you're scared, say you're scared. They did. They were scared. They were scared of this giant and his challenge. And so, of course, David had gone back home. You know, we last saw him there with Saul. He was Saul's armor bearer. He was there to play his harp when Saul had the evil spirit attack him. But now he's gone back home to take care of dad's sheep again. So we find that beginning of verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. We talked about his 8 sons earlier. And he went among men as no man, Jesse did, in the days of Saul. And his 3 eldest sons, were in battle. They were there with Saul in the battle, fighting the Philistines, or there in the battle with the Philistines. And so David, the youngest son, had come home to take care of the sheep. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days. And so David's at home. He's taking care of the sheep. And so Jesse, not knowing what was going on, you know, that's the way God works. God's always on time. God don't make any mistakes. You know, sometimes we think things happen just out of place and out of time. Maybe we want something to happen and it don't happen in the time frame that we thought it ought to happen. And we get discouraged and dismayed and get upset with God when we don't understand that the timing's just not right, you know. You ever thought you were late? You know, thought God was late because he didn't show up when you thought he ought to. And then when you showed up, you realized that it was better that he didn't show up when you wanted him to show up, because it worked out. Because his timing's right and ours is not, you know. He's saying that when he's 3 days late, he's right on time. You know, Mary and Martha thought he was late when Lazarus died, remember? They thought, well, where you at? You know, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, you're late. And now he's dead. He's been buried for 4 days. But God was right on time. He's always right on time. And he was right on time here as Jesse decides, not knowing that there's a battle going on, maybe, or he knew the battle was going on, but he didn't know what the situation and circumstances were. But he sent David to go to carry some food to his three older brothers and to check on them and see how they're doing. So David is on a mission just simply to go carry some food to his brothers, check to see how they're doing, and come back and let me know. But when David gets there, they're in the middle of battle, and so David leaves his carriage and he just runs right on out there in the middle of the battle to check on his brothers to find out how they're doing. And while he's out there, Goliath comes out and makes his challenge. David heard that challenge. He heard Goliath challenging the children of Israel, challenging his God. And David said, oh, no. You don't challenge my God. You know, the God I serve is bigger than that. And so he began to inquire about what, you know, Saul had told what would happen to the person if someone went to fight against him and if they defeated him. And so David was inquiring about what this was. And they sit down in verse 23. Get my numbers right. Verse 23. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And so David heard this and inquired about that. He said, "What shall be done to the man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth. David wasn't interested in the riches. David wasn't interested in even the fact that he would get Saul's daughter. That was not what interested David. What interested David was that somebody was challenging the God that he served, and David didn't take a liking to that. And you and I need to take a lesson from this. And when we see Satan challenging God, we need to take a stand. And you know, we're where we are today because Christians have too long stood silent. We've not stood up and said anything, and we've allowed things to happen and get us in the position we're in today, with sin just running rampant, because we've not spoken up. We've not gone to the polls and let our voice be heard. We've sat back silently and not done anything, and we've gotten ourselves in a mess. David was not going to sit back and let this continue to happen. David said, enough's enough. He said, I'll go fight that giant, because I'm not afraid of him, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, that verse works for all of us who are believers, because greater is the Holy Spirit that lives in us as believers than Satan who lives in the world. And so we don't need to be worried about anything that Satan throws against us. We are not subject to him. That old saying that Flip Wilson came along with several years ago, the devil made me do it, that cannot be a true statement for a Christian. Because a Christian, the devil cannot make a Christian do anything because he has no authority. Because greater is he that's in me, in a Christian, than he that's in the world. And so David was not scared. He didn't run scared. He just began to inquire about what would happen to the man that kills this giant. And so word was sent to Saul. There's a little old boy out here that said, you know, he'll go and fight that giant. And Saul said, well, send him to me. Well, David went in to see Saul. And he said, I'm not afraid of the giant. You know, he's not going to challenge my God and get by. The God that I serve will take care of him. And the God that I serve will take care of me. And I don't mind going up against him. And so Saul got all of his armor and he put it all on David. Well, David's just a little boy. Saul was obviously a lot bigger than David. And when Saul put all his armor on David, David could hardly move. And he took it all off. He said, I can't go out there with that. I can't move with that. I don't need that. So David took his slingshot. He went and picked him up 5 smooth stones. He really didn't need but one, but he picked up 5 anyway, put them in his bag, and he went out to meet Goliath. Now, when Goliath saw him coming, Goliath thought, man, this is a joke. I don't know what the Israelites are thinking. They're going to send this little boy out there to fight me? And it was such a joke. You know, he said, boy, I will feed your carcass to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. There'll be nothing left of you. You got nothing. And David said to him, no, you're wrong, buddy, because this is God's battle, and you're the one that will be fed to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Because I come in the name of Jesus Christ, and this is God's battle. It's not my battle. And so David put one of those little rocks in his sling, and he didn't run from Goliath, but he ran to Goliath. And he slung that rock around, And when he turned it loose, it hit Goliath right between the eyes. And Goliath hit the dirt face first. Now, who won the battle now? You know, Goliath's dead. So David runs and jumps up on Goliath. And he didn't have a sword, so he had to get Goliath's sword out. I can see him struggling with Goliath's sword because, you know, Goliath's a big boy. His sword was a pretty good-sized sword, I'm sure. And David's struggling. He gets that sword out, and he cuts Goliath's head off. And he took it with him. And he took it to Saul and gave it to Saul. But God won the battle. You see, what we need to learn from this account, and this is not just a good story. This actually happened. What we need to learn from it is when we face our giants in life, and we all face them, they come in all kind of different forms. Don't all look the same, you know. Maybe a problem with a relationship, or it may be any number of things. It may be sickness, or it could be, you know, the devil's attacking in many other ways. But when we face those giants, we need to remember, if we are believers, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, allowed Him to become our Savior and Lord of our life, that nothing can touch you unless God allows it. And if God allows it, it is for your strengthening and for His glory. Okay? Now, we see that so many times, how God intervenes in things that are just absolutely impossible for man in man's eyes. How many of us would send a boy out to face a giant? Probably none of us, unless we didn't like the boy, you know, just want to get rid of him. But here we see a little boy. And of course, as David went to Saul to offer to go and kill Goliath, he reminded Saul that, yes, I am a little boy, but I've been watching Daddy's sheep for a while, and I had a lion come and take one of the lambs and run with it. And I chased him down, took the lamb away from him, took him by the beard and killed the lion. And I had a bear to do the same thing, and I did the same again, and I killed the bear. And the same God that delivered me out of the hands of the lion and the bear will deliver me out of the hands of a giant named Goliath. See, David had no problem believing that God was able. Our problem today is we don't really believe, do we? Too many times we face giants and we want to face them alone. We don't turn them over to Him. We don't believe that God's able to rescue us from the giants that we face in our life. The Bible is very clear that as believers, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. That means that we don't make decisions just on what we can see and what we conceive as being true or even something that we think we're able to accomplish. We make decisions based on whether this is God's will. And if it's God's will, then we don't need to worry about it, because God will bring it to fruition if we'll just take that step of faith, if we'll just do what God's called us to do, if we'll listen to Him and let Him fight our battles. I remind you again of what the Solomon said in Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where he said, "Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Too many times we trust our own abilities and not God. But Solomon reminds us that we always need to be trusting God and not depending on our own understanding, what we can understand, what we can see, what we can feel, or what we feel like we can do. We don't need to worry about that. We just need to trust God. And that's exactly what David did. David knew that he was not physically capable of going out and on his own and killing a giant. But he knew that the God he served was able. And the God that he served is the one that put the rock right where it needed to go in Saul's ford. And Saul, or not Saul, in Goliath's ford. And Goliath fell to the ground dead. That was God's battle. There's a song that says, "The battle's not mine," said little David. It's God's battle. And today, the battles we face are not really our battles. They're God's battles. Let Him fight them. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think it's an individual that's coming against us, that we're battling that individual. As Christians, it's not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers, evil spirits. It's the devil that's fighting us and trying to discourage us and distract us and keep us from accomplishing what God wants to accomplish through us. God can do mighty things through anyone who is obedient. Never too young, never too old. David was a young boy, but God chose him and God used him. We see many places where God has used young people to do mighty things in His work. Don't ever think a person's too young. On the other side of that, don't think a person's too old to do it either. We're never too old, we're never too young. God's not interested in our abilities. He's interested in our availability. He wants you to be available. And if you'll be available, He'll use you. He'll work through you. He will accomplish great things through you for His honor, not for yours, but for His. And that's what we need to be about. Hey, it's not about you. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ, the one who gave His life willingly to pay for my sins and your sins. If you believe that, you certainly ought to want to do everything you can to honor Him and to please Him with all you are. Father, thank You for loving us. And God, I thank You that we don't have to fight our battles, that You are more than willing and ready to fight our battles for us if we will just simply step out of the way and allow You to do that. If we'll be obedient to You, if we will just listen to You and heed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God, if we'll just let You work through us. You want to do great things, mighty things. You want to bless us in mighty ways, but too many times we stand in the way. We try to fight our battles on our own, or we don't turn them over to You. We just try to fight them, and we struggle, and we wrestle, and we try to do it ourselves, and we get beat down, when all we need to do is simply surrender it to You and say, "God, I can't handle this battle, You're going to have to take care of it. Lord, You just give me direction, give me wisdom to know what to do, Let me know what my part is. God, you work and you win this battle for me. As David won that battle for God, Lord, as you won it through him, thank you for his faith in you and his obedience to you, Lord, to go up against a giant that he was physically impossible for him to defeat, but he knew that you were able to work through him and kill the giant. Help us, Lord, to let you work through us to kill our giants, Lord, so that you are ultimately the victor in the end. Father, there are people here today that are hurting their needs. Lord, there may be someone who's never trusted you as Savior. Glad you become Lord of their life. Today might be the best day in their life if they'll trust Jesus to be their Savior today. Make the greatest decision that's ever made, believing that Jesus is God's Son, that he died on the cross to pay our sin debt, repenting of sin and trusting him to be Savior and Lord today. Father, whatever decisions need to be made, I pray that people will not leave here without making the decision that they need to make for their life here today. We love you. Thank you for all things in Christ's name. For his sake we pray. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. If you're here and God's dealing with your heart, something you need to take care of, maybe you've never asked the Lord to forgive you and save you. We're all sinners. By nature and by choice. The Bible says all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God loves us all. And he will forgive us if we'll repent of our sin and allow him to come live in our heart. If you've got a need today, whatever it is, salvation, you need to rededicate your life or something else God's leading you to do, today's a good day to do it. Be the best day for you to do it, because tomorrow may never come. We may not see tomorrow. So if you're not ready, if there's something you're struggling with, something you need to do, a decision you need to make, right now is the time to make it. Just slip out from where you are and come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. You don't need to confess anything to me, but I'll certainly pray with you.